Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
A rival fan of Clemson told me he's got Dabo's new recruiting strategy figured out. Yeah, it's everybody else's strategy, too. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. How are y'all? Signing day was yesterday. It's not a signing period because in December, when what we still call the early signing period, which it's just going to be the signing period, I promise you, folks. That's what it already got there this year. So much was completed back in December, especially for the have programs. But that's a signing 3-day signing period. This is just signing day yesterday, and now you're just to the rest of your life. If you have scholarship offers still outstanding, like legit ones that you can ink, then this isn't signing day anymore. That was yesterday. This isn't the signing period. That was December. This is just the rest of your life. Remember, I graduated from college. I went into December. I was like, yeah, okay, one more football season. So I graduated on actually Friday, December 13th, and skipped graduation. Me and five of my fraternity brothers went to Graceland. But I remember when I got back, I dropped off some stamps at either the registrar's or the bursar's or whoever's office would take some stamps and mail me my diploma. And I was like, here, mail me my diploma. Might be the bursar's office. So I get back from Graceland, pack all my stuff up, head home. I'm done. I'm having breakfast at Shoney's because when I was 23, I thought that was good. And so I meet a buddy of mine at Shoney's, and I remember I said something about, Christmas break. And he kind of looked at me. He was like, you realize this isn't Christmas break anymore. This is just the rest of your life. And I was like, holy smokes. I was 23 years old. Do you know what every December about 17th through about January 3rd, every year for my entire life that had been Christmas break? He's like, yeah, that ain't Christmas break anymore. This is just like you're now out there living your life. I was like, oh, that's signing day. It's just now sign or don't whenever you care to. There's some prospect right now with like 26 offers in Power 5 football. And he's like, I'm not signing any of them. Why not? Because I'm going to be the 4th or 8th or 9th overall pick in June in the Major League Baseball draft. I'm getting broke off. So it's just out there. And you know what happens? You talk about the endless signing period. Chris Wienke, a guy like that, when he won a national championship as a starting quarterback at Florida State, he was older than I think 14 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. You talk about wide open signing period? Like he came back like 9 years later and was like, all right, I'm ready to sign. So that's where we are. And a rival fan of Clemson with the recent roster coaching staff reshuffling and the prevalence of, honestly, roster building through the portal. Danny Perriman now taken from an off-field role to, why don't you be, basically, you know what this is? This is a pro scout for an NFL franchise. You're already scouting. You're scouting players who are already in the NFL. Well, now you have that in college. Don't scout high school kids. Go scout kids who are already in college. Quote, and I was like, hang on, let me write this down. a fan that is a rival of Clemson or trying to be a rival, a fan of a program who would really love to be a rival of Clemson. They're not quite good enough. Quote, if Clemson gets to the end of the early signing period and there's a hole, they'll pivot 100% now to the portal. And water's wet. Folks, there are major heritage programs in Power 5 conferences that signed one or, zero high school players yesterday, zero high school players, and they may still have three or four or five or eight scholarships available. Here is your reasoning if you're Dabo Swinney now, and he's finally come around on it, especially this year. All right, I'll take a shot with a guy who's played 19 games at Western Kentucky versus the chance I make a four-year mistake on some high school kid we've never even talked to in person or seen play in person. We're all aware, again, there's only one scholarship limit for this coming football season. The you can only sign 25 in a class limit. So everybody can sign 25 because you can go. The reason you only sign 21 is because you signed 25 the previous few classes and not as many kids went pro or transferred or failed out or got arrested or et cetera or got drafted by the Brewers. And you look up and you go, wow, if we give scholarships to 22 kids, that'll bring us to 86. So we're only going to give 21 scholarships. Gosh, I wish we had more, but you can't because you can only go to 85. Not the case this year. So when you look, now that signing day has come and gone, and Alabama signed 27. They're the, man, you talk about outlier. They're the team that's like, no, we're going to load up on high school kids. And Saban, and that's, they ran out of scholarships before they ran out of four stars and five stars who would take them. Ohio State has 21 signees total in this class. They're not done, folks. They're going to sign up to 25, and they're going to look at transfers. Kirby, does he have like four or five scholarships still available? And he's going to the portal. LSU, they've got two or three left, and they're still a high school kid they would go after, I believe. There's still one that they would say, yes, you get it. But they're going to get at least two kids from the from the portal, if not all three. Clemson has 19 commits total, enrolled, signed, 19. You think in an unlimited year, even Dabo, and that's what caught my acquaintance's eye. Whoa, wait a minute. Everybody can sign 25 no matter what, and Dabo hung back at 19. Damn, what do the kids say? Laying in the cut?
Never heard it, but I'll go with it.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. He's laying in the cut. He's just waiting to strike. Clemson, he has six scholarships. He's going to the portal, man. He's going to some grown men. Oregon with 23. Texas. When was the last time you saw a top 10 where the number of signees, 20, 22, 19, 23, 23, 22. Lincoln Riley signed 16. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a good friend of mine, former starting quarterback at Georgia Tech, Super Bowl champion in the NFL, College Football Hall of Famer. It is my good buddy, Joe Hamilton. That is coming up next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show. It's time for The Game Plan with College Football Hall of Famer Joe Hamilton.
Touchdown, Georgia Tech. Nobody throws a fade better than Joe Hamilton.
Presented by Low T Nation. Get your game plan ready for optimized health at lowtnation.com.
I am Chuck Oliver. He's Joe Hamilton. I'm a radio host. He's all that stuff that he is. We do this every Thursday. Love having Joe Ham come and sit in. And I got to say, if we ever develop this to like ChuckOliverShow.net and there's like a password protected, like premium content, it's going to be the conversations during the commercial breaks.
Yes.
Because Joe and I just, we covered everything in the world from Friday night recruiting all the way to like Super Bowl Sunday. So let's do some of this on the air now. And Joe, first of all, great to see you. I'm glad
yes.
you could come
always
again.
Good to see you, Chuck.
I was talking to you specifically about the transfer portal. And as far as player movement and empowerment and rights, brother, that is in the rearview mirror. That's like back around turn of the previous century. That is never going the other way now. So I get that, and there's reasons for that. But specifically with the quarterback, Joe, we've always talked forever about when there's a coaching change, oh, that quarterback, now he's had three head coaches and four OCs and, you know, whatever years. When you jump in the portal, I know you're trying to find playing time regardless of what the situation is, what the backdrop is, but you're creating the worst situation possible. You're sort of creating it for yourself by choosing, in some cases, not just a second school, maybe a third school. Nick Starkel started at A&M, one season at Arkansas. He finishes at San Jose State. That can't be easy.
No, it's not easy, Chuck. And what you're doing as a quarterback, you're trying to look for consistency. I really never believed in jumping out of there or trying to go to the transfer portal when you miss out or you become the backup out of one spring. And keep in mind, this spring ball, what we didn't see last year, expect the transfer portal to be even more filled with quarterbacks because they're promised time, playing time. They don't realize when you create a script as a coach, they're only 12 reps in a certain period, whether it's 7-on-7 or team drills. That's not going to be broken down equally. And for you, when a coach has his door open and say, you can knock and you can ask me about playing time, you can ask me about my future, and they are honest with you, take that. Because the grass is not greener. Matter of fact, you think the grass is greener, it's AstroTurf over there. It's not even grass. Okay, Chuck? So now, as a quarterback, we have different reps. I mean, we have different reputations. When you want to be in that transfer portal and then you're going to go to another school the next year, we're going to start questioning your competitiveness. We're going to start questioning whether you're fit at that school and whether you did something or everything that was right and you caused that on yourself.
A guy like JT Daniels, I'll use as an example. Jamie Newman was already at Georgia and was announced, oh, yeah, he came here to be the starter. You couldn't find anybody to dispute that. And JT Daniels was like, yeah, I ain't scared. I'm going to go out and duke it out. Maybe I won't be the starter, but I'm going to push that guy and I'll be better. You know, he went through that whole thing. And that's not just revisionist because he went to Georgia before Newman opted out.
Yes, and I love quarterbacks that embrace challenges, embrace the competition because that gets you better. I remember Brandon Shaw and I had an all-out battle as a quarterback position, and all I could say that Coach O'Leary, I'm very happy that he did not tell the untruth. We're going to have a fair and open competition, and whoever wins, wins. Whoever loses, just deal with it. And I'm able to deal with it if you allow me to compete. And these kids, these young student-athletes today, Chuck, they don't want to compete. They're trying to find the first sign of making excuses. And it's all the way from Pop Warner to high school and now it's, you know, permeated through college.
All right, well, let's talk about some of the quarterbacks who showed out a little bit down in Mobile this past Saturday. And, you know, overall, and I've talked about Felipe Franks a lot, I was impressed with what he turned that 2020 season into because he had one final go-round at Arkansas, which was not the best setting, you know, mm-hmm. from afar. He not only had a good regular season, he came down to Mobile, and with kids he had never played with, he put on a little bit of a show.
Right, because now you're surrounding him with players. Now he doesn't have to try to think he has to make every throw or you know, be perfect. Let the other 10 guys do their job, and you be a utility guy as a quarterback. And all these quarterbacks, Kyle Trask, Mac Jones, which is the most intriguing prospect to me right now because 10 years ago, we would be talking about Mac Jones as the number one pick. But because of how mobile these guys want the quarterback to be now.
That's like Carson Palmer wouldn't be first overall now.
That's correct. Absolutely. No. So and I love the mindset. I love the pre-snap count, the pre-snap ability to get you in and out of good and bad plays that Mac Jones possesses. And that Senior Bowl, never underestimate during the week when you are put on that chalkboard. So we saw them play on Saturday, but we don't know how they performed in the chalkboard and how they performed in meetings and the interviews.
Absolutely true. And talk about the importance of that because, the interviews, that's supposed to all be up in Indianapolis and all that to combine. But a lot of that, Mobile had to take the place of the combine because we're not having a traditional, week up in Indy. Just talk about the interview because some of those teams, it's not like they try to necessarily be aggressive, but they do want to put you on your heels a little bit.
Yes, and it's more so about your background, more so about your family, more so about your friends, how you carried yourself. They will ask you some school questions. What's your favorite subject? But they're going to give you something earlier because it's not just one interview, Chuck. They're going to give you probably two or three plays in the first interview. Can you retain that? And then the second interview is going to be more so about what did you learn? What do you like or dislike about us? And you have to be prepared as a quarterback to interview the interviewee. They really, really love that when you come in prepared to ask them questions as well.
All right. Now I'm going to ask you is this, you were just an 18-year-old kid from the low country, and you show up in, like, the big city because your college campus was in a major state capital in Georgia. And so that's you. And now you're graduating from Georgia Tech. You're heading out. You're going to try to be in the NFL. How do you navigate agents and endorsements and all the lures out there for just prospects coming out of college who hadn't played a snap in the NFL. I've heard that from a lot of folks consistently down in Mobile. I mean, it's just about everything just falling out of the sky in a normal year.
Hopefully you're not coming from a household where you need money. Hopefully you're not coming from, a place where you're trying to protect or you're trying to, give more money to your family because you're going to be easily.
I change everybody's family tree.
Yes, you're going to be easily influenced. And when you're easily influenced like that, you make bad decisions. But it's a shell shock. But it is also a good thing because you feel wanted. You feel like you have a value and they're going to respect you that way.
What was your experience? Because, again, you were in the NFL. You had a long career in the Arena League as well. You got hardware in both places.
Well, it transformed. I love my career because in high school I had to max out to get where I was. Nothing was given. I always played 100%. College, the same thing, 100%. In the NFL, the same thing, 100%. And when you do that, Chuck, you can look yourself in the mirror. One of the most disappointing things ever to happen to me was my dream was to always play in the NFL. And to get to the NFL and realize that no matter how early I got up in the morning, I was not going to get the reps to be a starter, that was humbling. That was very, very humbling. All my career, I could outwork a guy to
eat right, do right, be in bed at 10 o'clock. You and Brian Westbrook in that Bible, in that playbook, you weren't going to wake up 6:02.
No, exactly. You weren't guaranteed anything.
Absolutely true. Joe Hamm, always appreciates the time, my
good
friend.
Good stuff, Chuck.
Definitely. That's Joe Hamm here with us every single Thursday, courtesy of Low T Nation. And I want to ask you one more thing heading into the draft because just real quick, with so much importance going to be on individual workouts and pro days versus what, a lot of those drill-specific training that kids go through, it's going to change their prep leading up to the draft.
Yeah, and, that's why it's very, very important who you hire. As far as your quarterback coach and your agent to put you around football guys going into those pro days.
Yeah, the strategy of, hey, we're going to let you I'm a quarterback. Well, yeah, Mac Jones or Kyle Trask, we're not going to work on throwing or accuracy, something you can use. We're going to have you drag tires and pull parachutes and all that so that you can shave 2/10 of a second off your 40. Kyle Trask is like, if I ever have to run 40 yards, that's not good for my team. So it'll be, I think, a much more realistic training offseason, I hope, certainly.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
we're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
I know he's not through his coaching days. That's really important for him to be able to get out there and have the relationships and go develop a position group and coach. So I know that's important to him. And his family's been his focus here recently because I know he feels like he's moved his family all over the country, and this is an opportunity for him to give back to them and be with them and be able to watch his son play.
That is Kirby Smart talking about his now staff member, his employee, Will Muschamp. It is official. He is joining the Georgia coaching staff in an undetermined role. Is that right? As undefined?
Analyst, yeah.
Yeah, it's just going to be a jumble. A special assistant in charge of head coach's opinions of defense.
Yeah, basically don't cut into my buyout.
Yeah, exactly. Pay me just enough that I can, you know, establish a little in-state, you know, retirement benefits, et cetera, and then watch one of his kids who is on the Georgia roster. So, again, joining his former teammate and friend. It was Kirby. Didn't Kirby lead the SEC in interceptions one year? And Will Muschamp, I think the story, because Will Muschamp's not, you know, very tall guy either, but he had two older brothers. One of them was a quarterback at Duke. And he said they used to play, they were older, they used to play keep away, and so the only way I could ever get the football is to elevate and learn to tip and just, I mean, get one part of a fingernail, and he said, and then you turn it into a tip drill. He says, I was doing tip drills when I was 6 or 7 or 8, or I never got the football. So that was, Will Muschamp joining the Kirby staff there in Athens in some sort of capacity. Nick Saban was ahead of the rest of the sport again, and he took truckloads of crap for it, and now is the payoff. I told you, Alabama, sitting with 27 commits in this year's class, and that is so far against the norm because most coaches said, you know what, I'm going to take whatever I take out of high school, you know, 16, 17, 18, but I'm jumping into the portal. And whereas, you know, Mike Norvell, again, I think the number was like 16 and 8. And if I'm off, I'm trying to get it right. But I think it's 16 kids from high school total, maybe. And I think the number is 8 transfers and good transfers. Whether it is a starting quarterback or a quarterback who is also a really good leader. Mackenzie Milton, you got a running from UCF. You got a running back from Auburn. You got a wide receiver from Kansas. You got defensive studs from this place and the other. So it's a lot of talent through the transfer portal. Dan Mullen, same sort of thing. Folks, this is called roster management. That's all it is. And whereas we were looking at Dan Mullen, there's a snarky little nickname floating around, the Portal Master. I'll give him credit. He went to the portal, got Eric Gilbert. He got Lorenzo Lingard. He got Justin Shorter. He got Taquan Newkirk. He got the defensive tackle from defensive end, I think, from Penn State. Yeah, you want to make fun of Dan Mullen, Portal Master, and I think that makes the rounds on the Georgia fan boards, and maybe Tennessee, and maybe Florida State as well. Maybe that's what everybody's making, but I've just seen it from Georgia fans. Hey, did you see it? You know, Twitter or whatever. And because I've told you, hand of the Lord, I don't read message boards. There's one about vintage baseball cards that I read called Net 54. Beyond that, I don't read message boards. See, this is what a coach is being celebrated for right now. Nick Saban was given crap for it. Roster management. It's about to be the norm for everyone. And Nick Saban was the first because he saw opportunities originally in the grad transfer market. And so I've mentioned this before. He started treating it like an NFL personnel department. We need pro scouts as well. We need scouts for players who are already at this level. On Sundays, when he was coaching the Dolphins, that was other NFL teams. He decided, all right, we need scouts for players who are already in college. Let's create a personnel department. That's so cold. You're so terrible. What it actually was visionary. So every time there's an opportunity, Nick Saban, he'll say, I don't like this. Keep it the same. But when everybody else votes against him, which happens more often than you think, oh, Nick Saban's against this. All right, I'm for it. What's the issue? Not sure. You change the rules? He's like, all right, let me look at them. And then he figures out how to game that system as well. Dan Matthews, how you doing today?
Yeah, you don't get very many fastballs by him. No. And when you do, it's kind of like that part in the movie Miracle when they were talking about the Soviet goalkeeper. And they said, if you score on him, you better keep the puck. So, that's one of those things that, like I said, doesn't happen very often. You know what else doesn't happen very often? The Blue Bloods in college football losing out. And yesterday was another example of that being the case. Brad Powers does great work for pregame and also for Phil Steele, a man that we have on before every single season. You know, Chuck, that I'm a guy who likes to use numbers to make my argument because numbers, they're definite. You cannot argue with them. They are what they are. Number of 5-stars in this most recent recruiting cycle. 34 of them for the 2021 class. 22 of them went to Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, LSU, and Clemson. There are 125 other teams in FBS college football. I just said 22. That's right. 12 of them divvied up between the other 125 schools. It gets even better, as Powers even pointing this out again yesterday, with the schools that I just mentioned there recruiting in the last 10 years. Number of top 50 recruits signed between 2012 and 2016 was 79 for them, 171 for the rest of the field. The last 4 years, 17 to now, 128 for them, 122 for the rest of the country. I'm saying all that to get to this point where I think that we all in this part of the country get so annoyed with the SEC is overrated. The SEC is top heavy, where I think that point right there really leads to a larger point of, no, the SEC isn't those things. The sport is those things. It's not just an SEC problem where it's Auburn and Texas A&M and South Carolina and everybody else looking up and saying, gosh, how do we get past Alabama? How do we get past Georgia? LSU, all of those schools. It's for everybody else that's trying to do that. And we want to say that, oh, hey, we need to expand the playoff because that's the way that everybody can have a shot at doing this, which according to this metric, yes, that is true. But guess what? That's your problem. That's not their problem. Don't punish them for being good.
It was Clemson, Georgia, Bama, LSU, Ohio State.
Ohio State, yes, those five.
So South, 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 Upper South.
Recruits the South, yes.
Yeah, okay. Former Florida head coach said, hey, we're recruiting Florida. That's not a trend anymore. You know what it is? The best players in America heading, I'll say, Texas East, and there are some schools in Texas going, really? We're included? Heading Texas and East. It's not a trend, folks. It's an exception when it doesn't happen.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open! Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
To the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week all year. It's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. 9 states, 51 sticks. It is what we do. Been doing it since the beginning, the 2014 college season. So appreciate y'all putting that blessing in my life. Folks, it is not often that when you look at recruiting rankings, and it can be national, for instance, it can even be in the conference, and you would see Auburn sitting at 11th. Folks, I'm not saying nationally. I'm saying Auburn has, as of right now, Auburn sits at 11th in the SEC. You know the situation anytime there is a coaching change. You know the situation anytime you have that turnover, no matter how early, late, whatever. It's about relationships and who was already committed, et cetera. And so if I tell you, hey, folks, it's the morning after signing day, and Auburn is sitting at 11, then you would think, okay, well, who's in front of them? I'm going to guess a few teams from the SEC, maybe Notre Dame, maybe Ohio State. And I would say, no. Who's ahead of Auburn in 11 are 10 other teams in the Southeastern Conference. Now, that's the first weird thing. But upon just a little bit of close examination, you also see that Auburn only has 16 players in this class so far. I can promise you, folks, if I live to be 100 million years old, you won't have a heritage blue blood SEC program who can sign 25 players. Not often they're going to say, we're good with 16. You know, there is a scenario where you have a brand new head coach and he says, you know what, instead of handing out scholarships to guys that we don't really believe in, maybe we're going to hold those over to next year. In the case of the 2021 class with the ability to exceed 85, you've got some other choices to make. I want to welcome on right now, as a matter of fact, new head coach of the Auburn Tigers. It is Brian Harsin. Coach, welcome. How are you today?
Chuck, I'm doing well. How are you? And glad to be on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. Talk about your recruiting class and the decisions, because there are a lot more ways for it. Used to be either give the Scholly, keep the Scholly for later, maybe reward a walk-on. But now with the transfer portal, it's gone from finishing off a class to some programs looking around going, I need 7 or 8 linemen.
Well, you go back, it's changed quite a bit. Go back to before we had the early signing period. And everything was done in February, then you added December. Then you have 2 signing periods, and now you have transfers. And exactly what you said, there's still opportunities for walk-on players to reward them. But there's just, you know, recruiting's changed. It's year-round. There's attrition. There's transfers. And there's other things along with the high school players that you're recruiting that just makes it where – as you put your roster together, you look at what your needs are, and then you go and try to find the right fits in your program. But you also have opportunities now where when signing's over, you can still recruit guys to those positions. And you know, that's where we are right now. We don't have the entire roster complete at this point. We have the guys that we've signed, and we're very proud of those guys and looking forward to having them here. Some are already on campus. But we'll continue through the spring, and we'll continue on until we have that 85 and those numbers, and especially going into this season with some of the super seniors that'll be a part of the program. That changes a little bit for 1 year, and then you're back on track in 22. So our thought process was let's get the best players right now. Let's get some needs in areas filled, and then let's continue to keep recruiting through the spring and, you know, see where we're at as we get through spring practice.
Chuck Oliver, continuing with Auburn head coach Brian Harsin. And I got to tell you, whenever there's a new head coach and he announces his coaching staff, it doesn't matter if it's me, fans, media, we all look and go, wait a minute, that guy's never coached in the South. There are other metrics to consider. And as you pointed out, there may actually be some benefit to kind of expanding a program's recruiting footprint to include the West Coast. But I got to tell you, when you put together a staff and it's not like 9 out of 10, you know, from Florida, Alabama, Texas, et cetera, it will get a Southern football fan's attention.
Well, no question. And certainly with our staff, we understand our area of recruiting. It starts right here in the state of Alabama, number one, and then the other areas around here. And we know that. We do have coaches that have recruited in the West. And there are connections there. There's coaches that have recruited in Texas. But we know where our footprint's at. It's right here in the state of Alabama, Georgia, and those surrounding areas, and Florida as well. So, but I also think the, you know, putting a staff together, recruiting is a large consideration in that. But at the same time, you want guys that want to be a part of this program, and you want coaches that can develop players. And I feel like that's what we found in this staff. Great coaches, great men. They know how to develop. They have a plan for that. They understand the game. And, you know, they also can build relationships. And so the areas that we need to recruit, the coaches that we need to connect with, and the players and the families, these guys can do that. And then there is an opportunity for some national recruiting if there are players that we feel fit our program in other areas because of some of the connections that we built at other programs.
All right. I've got a couple of superlatives, I guess, I would throw at Bo Nix, and these are not supposed to be like backhanded compliments, but I really think it's reflective of what most people have seen the first 2 years, that like if there was a county fair and it had like a trick shot contest, I may choose Bo Nix ahead of any quarterback in college, being able to make every single throw, different angles, just amazing throws sometimes. But it's the regular throws that maybe don't always go his way. The other thing is he may be the best quarterback in the country in the final 2 or 3 minutes of the game, but it's that first 57 that may drive you crazy. What have you seen about your quarterback?
Well, let me say this with the entire team. This is a fresh start. It's a new opportunity. You know, the guys that have played here, we've gotten back and watched their tape. We've got a chance to see them athletically and what they're capable of doing. And then schematically, you know, things will be different. And, you know, what I feel like for every position, and we'll take the quarterback position into consideration right now as we're talking about it, you know, there's going to be new things that we do, and there's going to be new fundamentals and some of the stuff that each of these positions are going to learn from this coaching staff. And I know that Coach Bobo does a great job with that. That's the reason why he's here. Go back to 2011 when he and I connected when I was at Texas, and it was really over quarterback play and fundamentals and then schemes. And we continued that relationship, and he ended up being the head coach at Colorado State, so I got a chance to compete against him. And so for Bo, you know, what I've seen from our quarterbacks, and Bo in particular, he works extremely hard. When you watch him in the workouts and the conditioning, he's going hard, he's finishing first, he's doing the things necessary to be a better overall athlete, and I'm excited about all these players getting a chance to get with these coaches, learn a new way of doing things, develop themselves, and have a fresh start. So, you know, all the things that have been done, you know, that was last year's team, and we've moved on. We're into 2021, and with this staff and the focus on what we have to do, and that's been the number one thing that we've tried to establish is here's the direction we're going now, here's what we expect from every single one of us, and here's how we're going to get it done. And so far, our guys have been doing that, and Bo and other leaders on our team, Owen, our guys have showed the type of work ethic that we need moving forward, and they've been great examples up to this point.
Wrapping up with Auburn head coach Brian Harsin, and I got to tell you, as an Auburn grad, I'm like, this next statement being true, it works for me. You know, spending more money doesn't necessarily guarantee better results on the field, but it can guarantee you a better football facility. Clemson spent $55 million, I think, about 5 years ago. Georgia's opening an $80 million facility. You got a $91 million facility, you know, in the process of being built. Talk about the future of Auburn football, because somebody else is going to build a $110 million facility in the future, but as of now, I can't imagine anything you would want in a facility that's not included in that one.
Well, I think all those, as you're talking about it, with those programs, and certainly here, it's a commitment to the excellence that you want for your program. And certainly here at Auburn, that commitment's strong. And it's the facilities, it's the people, it's all those things that, you know, from top down that we approach as being first class. And so when you have an environment where, and that is the facility, where your players and people, recruits and families and coaches all get a chance to come and gather, and it's first class. I mean, that's what this program's all about. And those are going to be important pieces for our success in attracting the right people to be a part of our program. And I appreciate the commitment that Auburn has, and I appreciate, you know, the things that we've talked about for the future of this program and how we want to build it. And certainly seeing that in action is important for our success. And I appreciate that. That's why I'm here and why our staff and everybody in this program is excited about the direction we're headed and being a part of Auburn football.
Last question for you, and I don't know if it was stated this blatantly in the interview process, but one of the goals that really touches every part of your job is, hey, go compete against Nick Saban and Alabama in some way every single day of the year. And you looked at that and said, yep, sign me up. Just talk about that dynamic.
Well, first of all, I think that's why we're here, and I think that's why everybody wants to be a part of this program. You get to compete at the highest level against the best competition, and it's not just one team in particular. It's all the teams we play, and that's our focus. And part of that, I remember that conversation, and at the same time, I was thinking about just our program and what we have to focus on, and really it comes back to Auburn. What do we have to do? There's a new staff. There's going to be changes in ways things have been done. We're bringing new players. And so our focus has to be on us. Our focus has to be on what we have to do so we can compete at the highest level. We can be the best football team that we possibly can be. And that goes back to each and every one of us understanding our area of responsibility and doing it to the best of our ability. So that's our focus right now. It's on us, what we have to do, the things that we're trying to implement, and each one of these guys and coaches staying focused on that. So when we do get to those games, and we will, we're prepared, ready, and we can go out there and play our very best.
Well, Coach, I know that to-do list is pretty lengthy. I appreciate you carving out some time today, man. Thank you.
All right, Chuck, thank you, and War Eagle.
All right, Brian Harsin, the Auburn head coach. Appreciate him making some time coming on today. And there's nothing easy in the SEC. Their Auburn fans have found this. Georgia fans have found this. Dan, I don't like 2000, was it 14 or 15? Didn't Georgia lose up in Nashville?
It was 13, actually.
I'm thinking a Brendan Douglas fumble.
I think that was that. Patton Robinette coming in for Vanderbilt that day.
Right.
And then also, too, I remember the thing I'll always remember from that game was a fake field goal. And Franklin throwing off his headset and like giving this like pumped up motion to his guys coming off the field.
Yeah, as I'm recalling, Georgia had a defensive end named Ray Drew who was about 6'5", 6'5 and a half, and he got ejected. It was before there was like a review of targeting. Was this the game, Dan?
No, it was. You're right.
He got ejected. Essentially,
I think Ramique Wilson, too.
The penalty was you're 7 inches taller than the quarterback. And so you making a regular tackle on him resulted in a blow to the head. Ray Drew's like, I got penalized for being taller than the – and so he got – it was the – and there was no review, man, and he was gone. So, yeah, even going to Vanderbilt and trying to win, it's a real opponent. You got to go up there. You got to play ball. There are teams that have shown up and left with whelps. So nothing's easy in the SEC, and it's even more nothing's easy for the Auburn head coach. Trust me. So that, you know, you don't state the goal that blatantly, but there's a tinge of it to every single thing every day in some way. If you're the Auburn head coach, you are going head to head with Nick Saban and that monster.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.